We welcome you to week two of the 2019 Golf Show, presented by Corona Premier. I'm WSBT Radio Sports Director Darren Pritchett, joined by Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn Golf Club, Signal Point, and the Blackthorn Top Golf Swing and Suite. Did I leave anything out?
I own like a couple dogs and
you lease your car.
Yeah, at least I own my car. That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
We also have Spirited, which is a great bar in downtown South Bend. We would recommend everybody to give that a try.
And the address is?
It's a weird address. It's right between Jimmy John's and South Bend Chocolate on Michigan Street.
Okay.
Check it out. Great libations.
Wow.
Very
I got
good.
Nothing.
That's
I don't own anything. I work at a golf course.
You're just a humble golf pro.
That's exactly right.
You're kind of like Tin Cup, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
You got the Winnebago, and you take the cups and you wash them in the spa in the backyard. And apparently Rene Russo stops away every once in a while.
That
so there you go.
It worth it, but that doesn't happen.
That, by the way, is John Foster. With all those things being said, he's also the general manager of Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. And what's your title for the U.S. Senior Open?
I am the general chairman.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that title.
Sounds like you could start a war.
The GC.
Well, I was general chairman of the Women's Public Links in 2010, too, and you guys didn't notice. So
no.
Well, you
it's
never
a little bit
told
bigger
us.
Show, though. It's a little bit bigger show.
Well, you have so many nameplates on your desk.
Yeah,
that
right.
You can't notice them all.
Right. Yeah, that's what I am. I make a career. I'm co-general chairman because Mike Seaman, who's, we all know, Mike's a great guy. He's been of great help, so he is a co-general chairman here.
And so the main role of the general chairman?
It's basically tournament operations, okay. You know, leading in. And it's. I wish it were ceremonial, but it's not.
Do you get to hit the first shot?
No. That's when we have honorary chairs, which would be Jerome Bettis and Tim Brown are honorary chairs.
Oh, nice.
So they get to do all that stuff.
Do they get opening tee shots?
No, that ain't a USGA
That's
thing.
Just a Masters thing.
That's a PGA
Tim Brown can hit it.
Yeah, Tim's
He's
a really good
player.
Jerome's
I don't know about
not bad.
Yeah.
But no, they don't do pro-ams. You know,
right.
It's a little bit different show than
Interesting.
The PGA.
The opening tee shots at Augusta is pretty cool.
No, that is cool. Yeah.
Probably it should just stay there, be unique.
They weren't as good this year, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I think Tim mentioned this last week.
Jack Snap hooked it into the crowd and hit a lady in the head.
And Gary was like pumped. You could tell he smacked it by the fans' reaction.
Yeah.
And everybody with Jack was kind of like,
ooh,
what do we do? And by Jack's right, he just waved it like, ugh, this is bad.
So who's going to be the next person that steps into that role?
I think
about it.
I think Ben – did Ben do it last year?
I don't think so.
They just he's got to be close to it.
Well,
that's a good one.
Maybe they did because it was in honor of Palmer or something. I thought maybe somebody else, but it may not – but it may
person,
be Ben.
I mean, the first name that came to mind was Tom Watson.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a good one.
Did he win, though?
He won one, I think. His big deal is the Open Championship.
Right, so I don't know if you have to have so many.
Speaking of him, well, you'll see his opening tee shot at the Warren Golf Club.
Right. I know.
Come June.
The first guy to apply or register.
Man. Well, he didn't have to apply. He's exempt.
Well, I didn't know the exact terminology.
This is Tom
they
calling.
Didn't ask me. Do you want Watson to come play? Why not?
I'm not a pro golfer, so I don't know all this terminology. I'm learning along
I'm
the way.
I'm not a pro golfer either, Darren. So
I was going to ask you last week, do you get any sponsor exemptions in this?
No.
No.
That's kind of not them.
USGA.
Yeah, so what I'll tell you how the USGA is with exemptions. So we had Retief Goosen. Who was it? Ernie Els, two-time winner.
Of a U.S.
They didn't exempt him last year into the U.S. Open.
Come on.
No. They are hard-nosed when it comes to stuff like this. So there are no sponsors. Oh, they don't have sponsors. God. You know, they have partners.
Got it.
You know, Rolex and Deloitte and Lexus.
Lexus, right.
But that's where it ends. So, I mean, and that's great. It's just a different organization. So,
You got to teach their own.
It was interesting when Ridley was talking at Augusta National. He was asked about a golf ball change. Would Augusta ever come up with a golf ball? And he said no. But if it's ever going to happen, it's going to be at Augusta National. And I don't think it will.
He's a former executive director of the USGA. So he's got that running through his veins, and you can tell it. I don't know. I really don't know.
But if any place is going to do it, it's
yeah,
going to be Augusta.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah.
Really, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Like, everybody's playing the same ball. It's like NASCAR with their restrictor plate stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
But name another sport where you get to pick the ball you use.
Yeah, football.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's got to be a certain.
Yeah. No. Late gate. Here we go. I mean, it's the same texture.
No, you're
football,
right. Right.
But it's just the
specifications.
Yeah. Baseball. Yeah. Actually, Major League and Minor League Baseballs are totally different. Like tonight,
really?
when Mike Montgomery of the Chicago Cubs comes on a rehab assignment to South Bend, for example, there are Major League Baseballs waiting for him. And that's what he uses during the game.
Does the ball heavier or different baseballs? Different material, different stitching?
It's the stitching is different.
Huh. Like it allows them to get less spin on curveballs or more spin, or what is it?
I want to give you an official answer. I'm going to ask somebody that knows before I just
do they hurt more than the minor league balls when they hit you with them? That's all I want to know.
I'll tell you what. I'll go grab one of each. We'll come back
Saturday.
Just
hit me in the head with both and I'll let you know.
You stand there. And I'll throw the same speed each one, and you tell me.
Because I guarantee you get hit with a golf ball, you can't tell what brand it is. They all hurt.
And I'm telling you what, these golf balls now are all so similar.
They really are, the way they behave.
The way they behave.
Why not go to one golf ball?
It's all about marketing and.
Yeah, I really don't
it's
know.
It's more about the consumer, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just talking for the PGA Tour.
I understand. Well, there is one thing Fred ducked the question that he's going to have to address, and that was 13.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
They were hitting 7 irons and five and
no,
six
not even
irons
that. And even on 15 on Sunday, what was it? Bubba had driver, pitching wedge, or nine iron.
And they lost that one tree on the left side of the fairway that so gave you can them a little bit of protection,
right?
Yeah, that's. I mean, I love the fact that they're reachable in two and that they're critical.
But how about
spots
hitting a hybrid in or a or a three iron?
There's no risk. There's all reward.
Yeah,
you know.
I think you're right.
So. They got to address that.
Well, especially when the golf course was as soft as it was. I mean, you can hit, you know, I mean, some of those shots that stayed out of the water on those holes that normally would have ricocheted right in.
Woods used the word fuzzy when he was talking about the fairways. And I thought they were going to banish him from the place for life. So.
I don't think that would happen.
How ironic for that phrase to be used when it comes to
Fuzzy.
That's a really good point.
When you go back to his meal many, many years ago.
I mean, it does not detract from the champion or the tournament itself and how exciting it was. It was great. But long term, they've got to deal with it.
We're 7.5 minutes into the show. By the way, who won?
Yeah, I know. I walked in Monday morning and asked my staff, and I think they were serious. They looked at me like, well, Tiger won. I would have been the only human in the United States not to know that he won.
I'll tell you what, and we've talked about Tiger a lot through the years on this program because he moves the needle. People want to talk about him. And I have never been an individual that rooted for Tiger. I don't root against him, but I root for other guys. You know, I've always been a Phil fan. I like Jordan Spieth. I like Justin Thomas. I've just never personally rooted for Tiger. I have to admit, on the back nine,
you were
I
was rooting for him.
I really did. Yeah. I wanted to see him win because I just wanted to see the emotion. Because we've never really seen a whole lot from Tiger. In bits and pieces, the excitement of making a putt. Like when he made the putt on the 72nd hole in 08 at the Open to Ty Rocco.
Right.
He had the fist pump and the scream. That's different. I wanted to see the emotions of all the things he went through. And most of it he did to himself. I wanted to see how he was going to react with his mom there and his kids and his girlfriend. And it was really, for one of the few times, he showed us he was a human and not a robot.
Yeah, I agree. I think, first let me say, I was one of the naysayers who predicted he would never win another major.
And you should not be
ashamed. And I paid out some bets this week after all these years. So I was happy to pay. No, unfortunately, a couple of them I thought would. One guy even moved to Arkansas and still texted me wanting to run his money. So I was unfortunate in that category. But anyway, happy to pay it, to your point, Darren. I think it was one of those times where whether you're a Tiger hater or lover, everybody was rooting for him, especially for John and I, guys that are in the business. It's great for golf.
It's good.
You know, I think it's weird because I could honestly think, I don't know what you guys felt, but I felt like he won and didn't have his A-plus game.
No,
I mean he didn't putt
well. As he normally does.
Yeah, like I don't. I mean, he did hit a lot of fairways. I would say.
Yeah,
and he got out of trouble great on some of his escape shots. But overall, I wouldn't say like
he got a lot. He got a lot of breaks, and
he got some breaks.
Yeah, and that's fine. You have to. He The other thing about showing emotion is it wasn't only the last day. Him smiling and stuff throughout the week.
I saw that, yeah.
It's totally out of character for
him. Reacting to the patrons.
Well, I think what the deal was, I mean, he was just glad he was there. And he genuinely, I think
you're right.
He appreciates it. I think what he achieved before was so expected of him by his father, which was then instilled in him, that I don't think it meant anything deep down. I mean, it was satisfaction
because
he
almost.
Made an achievement.
Yeah.
It was achievement for him. And this he really experienced. And yeah, I was like you. I mean, hell, I said the same thing, that the guy would never win again, you know, even a PGA Tour event. Mm-hmm. Do you have tape of that stuff, by the way, or has that been destroyed? Is there evidence, audio evidence of us beating up on him?
Ugh. Did you see the thing on Twitter where they had, like, the clips of all the people?
No.
Someone went back and got all these from all these different
all the
sports.
Experts.
Yeah, Stephen Smith and Brandon Chablis and all these guys who had said, he's done. He's never going to win again.
Well, Tiger admitted, you know, he thought
well,
he was
yeah,
done.
But yeah. I think it's great. They have
but it was funny because they had the video of him. They're interviewing him, watching all these these tidbits and just Tiger's face. The one thing I'll say, too, though, whatever he was chewing on was providing – even on his bad shots, you didn't see the anger from him at all like you would see the frustration before.
Mickelson started chewing gum and now Tiger.
Yeah, same thing.
I'm not
saying
it's because of
that. No, it just looks so – it looks strange, but you're right, Tim. It
kind of some kind of a
– I don't know.
Soothing – on his good – it was even keel.
What'd they do in the 70s? Get out a cigarette.
Yeah, it's true.
That was their relaxation.
It's probably not THC gum or anything, but probably just some peppermint calming.
The other thing that was so obvious – I mean, how unflappable he was. He was just – in his, and it wasn't even in his zone. He was just calm. And on 12, you know, you look at everybody else and what they did. It was just no big deal. Steps up, hits it in the right spot.
Well, I think he just said,
oh,
I'm taking my –
these guys are fired at the – yeah. Observe what went on.
Because they couldn't feel that wind above the trees.
Yeah.
Well, how many guys – there was three or four or
there
five
was,
guys that hit in the water.
Out of the last five shots before him. And Molinari, who – I mean, nothing rattles that guy. You could tell – He was totally psyched out.
Yeah,
well, totally psyched out.
My son is 13, and he's always rooted for Tiger, and he's never seen the Tiger that we had watched for so many years. So it was fun watching him watch the final nine holes. And I said to him, once Tiger hit that brilliant shot on 16, the par 3, a couple of feet, I go, this is so familiar from one standpoint. Other than Koepka and DJ, who made a run, but he was so far up the pace, I don't think he was feeling any pressure. This felt like an old major, that once Tiger took control of a golf tournament, everybody else either spun their tires or fell back.
And they were scoreboard watching.
And that's exactly what happened. And I was going to ask you guys, do you think it was the Tiger effect or was it coincidence that those guys started
I think it was coincidence. I mean, Koepka missed a couple of those putts that could have went in and scared him. I mean, the other thing you got to keep in mind, too, on 17 – Tiger, that putt was an easy putt. I can't believe he missed that. And then on 18, I think he was just bailing out, being safe.
That was a pretty aggressive.
He could have won by two or three shots.
Well, that putt was pretty aggressive on 18.
That was. I was shocked.
And I mean, starting on after 16, Nance and Faldo were talking like.
It was over.
It's over with. I'm thinking, no, it's not.
Yeah, Koepka was, back with 17, 18 to play.
Right. And that, it was so nonchalant. Oh, man, he's won. I'm like, really?
When he hit the shot on 16, I thought it was done.
Well, no, but you would think that. But as an announcer, you wouldn't basically hand him the jacket right there.
Right.
They didn't
Especially a guy who hasn't won a major in how many ever years, right?
And even when he fanned it off the tee, or his second shot
on 18,
that was no big deal. It's like, that's a pretty big deal.
Well, let me say this. There are times that we that do play-by-play get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it's hard to separate what you're seeing to maybe what could happen. But also, sometimes when you're a play-by-play guy, you're kind of the guy that's the lead guy at the circus, and you kind of build it all up a little bit. So
Jim
I'm
Nance
sure there might
doing
be some
that?
Showmanship.
That's hard to believe.
I mean, Dan Patrick, he had a great comment earlier in the week here on WSBT Radio talking about Nance's call on 18. It's like it was a funeral.
Yeah.
It was like this sadness and emotion and then silence. It was like somebody, like Tiger had died almost.
Well, that was interesting. I mean, you're right. The one thing I did notice is they didn't say a word. After he.
Thankfully.
And I thought that was classy in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like a dramatic home run in the playoffs. Once the ball goes over the fence and you say it's gone, you bow out and you just let the crowd and the pictures take over. Radio, you can't do that. But
you can definitely distinguish the crowd when they were reacting to him versus reacting to other people.
Oh, yeah, there was no doubt.
Perfect example, guys, was on 16 when he stuck it and that ball was coming down the hill. Koepka was ready to see on 17.
The people are cheering on.
They got people jumping up, and he's over the ball, and people are going up. And you know what? Brooks understood.
He just hit it, though. Did you see that?
Yeah. At first he backed off, and then it happened
again. No, he didn't care. Yeah. He's a fast player and just wants to whack it.
So, anyway, good TV.
Yeah. Great TV. Great for golf.
Corona Premier Golf Show. Tim Firestone, John Foster, Darren Pritchard with you on WSBT Radio. So Tiger shot 70, 68, 67, and 70 for a score of 275. A shot clear of Koepka, DJ, and Xander Schauffele, who just hung around in the golf.
This kid's unbelievable.
He really is.
It's like, he's like, there's nothing
flashy,
crazy flashy.
He doesn't make mistakes.
He's just always there. He's like number two in the FedEx points. Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not really sure where he came from. He
played
college?
UCLA, or USC. He's a California kid, I know.
Yeah. Well, Twitter was great during the back nine. I mean, everybody was going nuts. And at one point, I bet you 50 people who I follow nationally said the same thing. Like on 15 or 16, you mean Dustin Johnson's in this? Where did he come from?
I know.
He had a
C game all week.
I tell you what, part of that, though, was he wasn't covered. You know, it wasn't his score so much, but they had the cameras on
Tiger so much.
So
on
much
every shot,
that you forgot DJ was even in the tournament. So part of that was the coverage.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
A lot of Koepka.
Yeah.
A lot of Tiger, a lot of Molinari. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I think Kepka's fascinating just because he keeps everything under wraps. Now, I like a personality in a golfer. I think Jordan Spieth is great for golf sometimes when he says stuff. And he says some stuff that's a little off, I think, at times. But he's very brutally honest. And you know what? I have no problem with that. Yep. I think Justin Thomas is kind of fascinating. Phil is Phil and with the media. But Koepka, I'd like to see him open up a little bit, but it almost makes him mysterious.
Yeah, I think I think he's better off not saying anything.
Really?
If you've ever seen interviews with him.
He's not the most, I agree.
He's not a deep thinker, and that's fine. I think that's why he's successful. I mean, and he even said it. They asked him going into the last round, what are you going to be thinking about? And he goes, nothing.
And he just goes out and hits it.
No, I mean, and he's not very talkative, and that's fine. But I think by design, I mean, if you don't have anything to say, don't say it. And he doesn't. So I'm glad he didn't win, only because I wanted Tiger Woods to win, but if Tiger wasn't going to win, I wanted Molinari to win. Mm-hmm. He was down my list, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'll tell you another guy that's going to win without a doubt. He's just he's probably, in my opinion, got some of the most raw talent is just Tony Finau.
Well,
this
no
guy's
doubt.
Just unbelievable.
Great athlete.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he's just a freak of nature athletically, and he's too good not to win a lot more in his career.
Yeah, I thought he had a shot. I really did.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he gets rattled necessarily. I think he just hits some errant shots at times. And
putting, I think.
Yeah,
that's true. Got to get better with it. But it's like driving the golf ball. This guy smashes it and hits every fairway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does hit it straight.
How many times did you guys see? It was crazy. I don't know if you watched all the Masters. Tiger was being outdriven by everybody that he played with. Even Poulter, who's not long, was hitting it by him.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. If he ever would have just gotten to that point during his first comeback of, you're the best putter that's ever lived and one of the best iron players that's ever lived, and you have a great short game, who cares? Get in the fairway. Yeah. And I think that's
I agree with
been
you,
a game changer for him.
And it's interesting. If they had overhead shots of the camera, you could really see the difference. I was just basing upon the long shots of where they were standing over their shots. It's like, oh, my goodness.
I know. And Finau probably was 40 yards past them easily.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the post-game comments on Sunday, but Finau had his son in his arms. I mean, it's mini-me. I mean, they look exactly.
He's got like four or five kids.
I think he's got four or five.
Okay, the one he had in his arms, I mean, goodness, it was unbelievable. Well, John Rahm, close again, 69-70, 71-68. Obviously a very emotional player who played a very strong final round, 278, three shots out of the lead. I feel like his time's coming. Yeah. And I know Ricky Fowler was close again. I almost feel like Rahm is closer than Fowler, even though Fowler is more experienced.
I agree.
You agree?
Mm-hmm. I would say that's fair. And I don't know why with Ricky. He's such a good putter. He's got so many attributes.
It's like he goes to sleep for one round.
Yeah, like he almost just loses focus.
I know it.
But, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, for someone, what we always said, we didn't think Tiger was going to win another tournament. Yeah. Now, you look at, you know, he's at 14. He's got four to go, right?
He's at 15.
15?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got only to win
three to tie.
So I mean, how do you? I mean, you have to now,
and
don't you?
They're at Pebble this summer for the
his favorite place. And Bethpage, he won, right?
Yeah. He's won at Bethpage.
If you were going to say which, given the weather and how, you know, he had to get up at like 3:30 in the morning to go through his routine. This was not a tournament you would have picked that he was going to win, given that weather situation.
That's interesting. Now, me as a dummy, I would have said the Masters would have been the most likely major he would win because he just knows the course.
Well, just because of the weather, though, and being able to play that much golf in that short amount of time for a guy who's who struggles, you know. So, but I think, you know, John's right. Pebble and Bethpage, and I don't know where the British is this year.
It's Northern Ireland.
At Royal.
I got it written down here.
Rory's place.
It is Royal Portrush.
Royal Portrush.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting about him. How, like I said, I felt like he didn't even have his A game, and he still wins.
Right.
So if I think to say over the next, let's face it, 3 years? So he's got maybe 12, 15 majors left realistically, right?
Yeah.
Can he catch fire? And he's proven it, though. Even the tournaments he hasn't, you know, that he hasn't won, he's been right there. Well, he played in the last group of the British Open.
The last three majors. He,
you know, so I think that, man.
Also,
I don't know what the odds are in Vegas. We should look that up. But
he's the favorite at the PGA now.
Is he really?
For next year's Masters already.
Oh, jeez.
How about the guy that put down 85,000?
Oh, my goodness.
At 14, was it 14 to 1?
Something
he
like
paid
that.
$1.9 million.
Yeah, but then today, I didn't read it, but the headline is he's just an extensive criminal past. Now, I don't know what that
has to
do
with. That's the first time he's ever placed a bet, he said.
Yeah, so it makes
he's a day trader.
Oh, is
that
he?
That was his occupation.
Well, that's his criminal past.
His dad tried to talk him out of the bet.
No kidding.
Yeah. So that was incredible. And that was the only casino that would take it. He tried to place – he flew to Vegas.
Is that right?
And he went to three or four other casinos, and they wouldn't take the bet. And finally, William Hill – is the only one the CEO took the bet. So
I didn't know they would turn down a lot of bets like that. I don't know much about the
business. Well, these casinos, I mean
the amount. I mean, if you in there with $100, they'd take that bet.
It's not 85 grand.
It's the amount.
Why not?
Well, because.
Come on.
Well, Tim, they at the blackjack tables, he tries to bet 10 grand. They have to go talk to the owners. And
Oh,
that's how Signal Point came about. You know, he had a good day.
Yes, he did.
What's interesting, too, with Tiger, this is the first time he's won a major coming from behind.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Yeah,
which makes this even
more interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Tiger, I'm not sure what the rough's going to be like at Bethpage for the PGA, which is in May, which I still have to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
But
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's a big difference. John and I were talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, those places in May compared to August, completely different course conditions.
Well, my thinking is with Bethpage and also Pebble, he knows the golf course well. So let's put that aside. But if the rough is extremely thick, and we know at the Open it's going to be, how's his back going to handle that? How's his body going to handle that? Because at Augusta, the
second cut
is not...
That was as furry as I've ever seen it, though.
Oh, it was, yeah. There was actually... I mean, it would take the spin off the ball. Yeah. Before, it didn't matter.
But it's not going to affect him physically.
No.
The U.S. Open...
Maybe.
Believe me, okay? You want an expert opinion? I've had that same back surgery, and I've been hitting out of the rough for the last 10 years, and it hasn't hurt my back. So, can we put that baby to bed?
There we go.
That's okay.
You can't get a more expert opinion on that.
Let
so
me write this down.
His back will be fine.
It'll be just fine.
When we need a best of, get the cut at 24 minutes into the show on April, and we'll run with that.
Yep.
Okay, well, and Jason Day, minus 11, he lost by just two shots. He kind of hung around, had the little back issue, it looked like, early on, but
Talk about a guy that
on Sunday.
You just don't.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
Just so, he's so blah to me, isn't he?
Like
he's just,
he really is.
I mean, he's a great guy, great husband,
great story.
Wonderful story, but
yeah.
It's just like
I know.
Ugh. Anyway, sorry, I'm not picking on him,
no,
but just there's just
think...
nothing. I can't find a reason to. He's already won a major, right? So
yeah,
you don't. I mean, it's not really like you know the underdog.
Sometimes we just need something, an element to come out an individual.
That's
root
right.
For him.
That's right. Yeah. And I can't find it with him. Yeah. That's all. The other thing I'll say is, did you hear the story? I thought it was awesome. Where all the guys that had won the green jacket, Bernhard, or no, I guess some other guy, Bubba was there.
Yeah.
So Bernhard said, hey, let's all stick around. They went up to the clubhouse, had a drink, and then when he won, they came down and greeted him as he went in. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah,
so
really
what did
was.
You think of this comment? I'm paraphrasing. Did you hear what Bubba said after the round? He was asked about Tiger winning. And I don't know if he said all of us or if it was him specifically making the comment. So I want to be careful. But I'll paraphrase that he said, well, we were just hoping that someone who's already won it so we keep the club exclusive.
Really?
I thought that was
a very bizarre
comment.
Wow.
Why does that
They don't want any more Patrick Reeds coming into the
I think that was it.
And how awkward was that? Did that just seem weird?
Yeah, but you know one thing to his credit, when he put that jacket on him, he was out of the room.
He did.
He
stepped out of there.
Yeah.
He didn't want any part
credit.
Of the
– Well, I think he was just like, I'm not part of this. I'm not, you know. That was – yeah. Wow, ooh. I don't know. That sounds like the old Augusta.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, look up the
the
quote.
Well, I should check that out.
Because it'll pop up immediately on Google, I'm sure.
I've never heard of that before, though, of like the Masters champions not wanting
– No.
Because look how many of them. Oh how many goodness. Are there? So many. Danny Willett. And
yeah, exactly. Pat, I think they should be able to vote him out. I think they should be able to vote him out.
Yeah, you're not allowed to come to the dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like Big Brother on CBS. We're going to have a contest
every year. One person gets voted out.
A chip off between you three clowns. We want you all gone.
You're going to have to hang from a rope, and Tiger's going to hit two iron zingers at you, and the last person on the rope. It's the power of your
gosh. Boy, that would be some good television.
Yeah, the Golf Channel hasn't done any more reality shows.
No, they dropped
No,
that.
They quit that, yeah. The Big Break.
Well, that's Tony Finau. That's how he got on. That's
oh,
how
is that
got
right?
His start.
I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was practicing one day and they were doing an audition and he went over and started hitting balls. And they're like, would you like to be on our show?
Well, how many former players in that
Symetra tour.
Symetra tour in a minute.
And the Big Break. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, there were quite a few.
And then they had that kind of make your own driver reality.
Oh, they're
shows.
Still doing that.
Driver versus driver.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
That doesn't excite me a whole lot. I mean,
well, you're not a long ball guy, you know?
Well, I haven't hit a ball in so long, I can't tell you, you know?
You're waiting for putter versus putter.
Well,
that's on a different network. Oh, is it time for a break?
Yeah, it should be.
What I was going to say was, before that happened, was April 25th, I will make my reemergence on the golf scene by playing at Blackthorn.
All right.
In the Legacy Cup, so.
Fantastic.
Wear a helmet.
I'll have to get some video and post that on the WSBT website just so, you know, the listeners can see you in action.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you guys give me a little help? Trying to re-engage into the game and see what happens.
Well, we're glad you're finally playing after 4 years.
Come out to the course to give you help, buddy.
Do you think there's any other golf show hosts in America that actually don't golf?
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
unless they're really, really old.
I got torched on South Bend Cubs game last night by my partner, you know, asking, well, why don't you play golf? I go, well, when you have two jobs and you have to leave for work at 11 a.m., you get home at 11 p.m., kind of hard now if I could play six holes somewhere.
Yeah, come on over.
That would be
6
great.
6 a.m.
So you give me a six-hole membership. You can play 1, 2, 18, 10, and 11.
There you
That's
go.
It. And you're done.
And then go to work.
And then go to work.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know what? I was always one, if I wanted to go play, I wanted to play 18. But now playing 9 makes more sense almost with schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go.
I'm growing as a young man now. So beware April 25th at Blackthorn. The deer probably will not be coming out of the woods, although that might be the worst place to be is in the woods that day. All right. Well, let's take a little breather. I'm still going to try to regroup from that previous reality show comment that took place, and we'll talk about some other golf subjects coming up next. As the Corona Premier Golf Show continues, Tim Firestone, John Foster, Darren Pritchett with you on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. This is the Corona Premier Golf Show from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Tim Firestone, John Foster, and Darren Pritchett with you on this Saturday morning. U.S. Senior Open coming to Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. Symetra Tour back at Four Winds Invitational. Volunteers a big part of both events. Where do we stand in terms of volunteers needed to put on those events? And, Tim, your tournament is first in May, so why don't you take it away?
The tournament is June.
Oh, is it June this year?
Yes, always. Seven, it? Eight, and nine. Yep.
Gosh,
and we are still looking for probably about 20, 25 more volunteers. Great opportunity to get inside the ropes and meet some of these young ladies from, I think we're over 30 countries represented this year. Four Winds Invitational.com or blackthorngolf.com has the application form. And anything from, being a scorekeeper to a cart shuttle person to food and beverage to marshalling, several different options. So depending on what you want to do, you can kind of put in your first preference. But it is a great experience and we'd love to have, anybody that'd like to help out.
I wonder how many people are doing both of your tournaments. I'm sure there's quite a few.
People that do this do a lot. They, and the senior PGA at Benn Harbor, they kind of really enjoy
it. We've got some people who, a husband and wife who actually, I don't know that they do yours, Tim, but they travel and do some PGA Tour events for the company that does the scoring. It's a software program that they're good.
They've got the experience.
And do that. And there's another couple that takes vacation every year to do the Senior Open. And
that's
so
cool.
I think you see a lot of crossover, though, like you said, between people just like getting involved in this stuff. I know the people that have helped us in the past with NCAA events and stuff on a much smaller scale. I mean, they were the first to sign up. So that's nice. It really is. We're almost there. I mean, we could always use a few more. If we don't get any more, we'll be successful. But it's great that we could get other people involved. The one thing I'll put out there, and we've already made some contacts, but we're the first course hosting the U.S. Senior Open who doesn't have a caddy program. They've never gone to a public course before. They've gone to resort courses, but Pinehurst and Band and those all have caddy programs. And so anyway, if you're an experienced caddy, give us a call and we can get you on the list. There are three levels of caddies the USGA is looking for. And this would be for the qualifiers, you know, the club pros and whatever that don't normally
have
play.
A caddy.
There are 30 to 35 of those that will make the field, and some of them don't have their own caddies. And one of the opportunities that you can have is on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. A lot of the times, their caddy, the pros' caddies, walk and do yardages. They just want you to carry the bag. So these are paid positions.
That'd be fun.
But you do have to have a level of experience. And so Greg Helmkamp, one of our pros who's handling this, just warrengolfcourse.com or, 574-631-GOLF. Give us a call.
That'd be a cool experience.
A number of the guys on our golf team are going to hang over and do it, which would be great caddies if you think about
it. Sure. Then no one knows the course better than them.
Exactly. We've offered the ladies team, but most of those girls are playing in events this summer. So there's going to be some opportunities. So that's the one thing we do have going on.
Don't you do what they say? Just
show up, keep up, and shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the three rules. And I can,
you can
honestly
do that.
Say
you do that.
In my experience in this, I've very few times had that. I'm not going to mention names. The shut up one's the hard one.
I can see Foster caddying for Mickelson and be like, yeah, good luck with that one, Phil. Go get him, big boy.
I think he's a little more discriminating than having me caddy for him. So.
And for people to sign up?
Yeah, it's the website is 2019ussenioropen.com.
2019 US Senior Open.
There's all kinds of cool stuff on there. If you'd like to buy some hospitality, it's still time.
You continue to ask me. I guess I'm going to just have to do it.
So. I know. Look into it. Go to the website.
Wow. It's going to be amazing summer here in South Bend, to say the least, with these two golf tournaments happening. And as I mentioned, the Midwest League All-Star Games also in June. Pitbull's coming. Maybe Pitbull hang around, you know?
Really?
Yeah. You know who Pitbull is?
I know who he is.
You don't want to get the party started?
Yeah. Does he play golf, do you think?
Well, if you like a beverage, maybe you've heard of Fireball.
What?
Never mind.
We're too old, I guess.
It's the name of his song.
Oh, it is?
Fireball's the name of his song.
Oh, I know that song.
Okay. See, there's a beverage called
Fireball. Yeah. That's all right. I've heard it. Sorry.
All right.
All right. Well, we only drink Corona Premier. We're not familiar with Fireball, only Corona.
We'll see if we can get the Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin group to come in, you know, for you, John. They'll entertain you a little bit.
I didn't say a thing about Martin or Sinatra. I just said I prefer not to go to the concert that you referred to.
Well, we have Snoop Dogg coming too, don't we?
Now Snoop, I can handle.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
Our radio stations, they're putting together a jazz festival in August at Four Winds. Would that be?
Yeah. Sounds depends great. On who's there. I'm very discriminating as far as my jazz. So
I need to take a break.
I just don't go for all that jazz. I am very discriminating.
I'll just go to break and we'll finish the conversation off the air. All right. We'll do more golf stuff next. The Corona Premier Golf Show from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. 96.1 WSBT. Welcome back to the Corona Premier Golf Show. I'm Darren Pritchett, joined by Tim Firestone, owner of Blackthorn Golf Club, John Foster, general manager of Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame. It's time for a brand new season. Let's get people ready for the start of the season for that first round of golf. Stupid question. At home, what's the best way to clean your clubs? Is there a substance you can use? Is it just water with some
I think just good elbow salt grease? And water down, you know, nothing great.
A mild
brush.
You know, don't use the – they sell the wire brushes to clean the club faces. Don't use that. No, that's not good.
And actually, John and I both would prefer that you don't actually clean your clubs. You just buy new ones. You know, we are in the day of age of disposable.
And the way I clean my clubs normally is, you know, you leave them in the cart, and when it rains every other week or so, they get cleaned. And it takes one day for the grips to dry out. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going to play the next day, that's my recommendation.
One thing, though, seriously with grips, people don't realize you need to clean your grips. Yes. I mean, that really does help.
And with?
Same thing, you know, and then, you know, dry them off with a towel, but makes a big difference. Yeah. Really does.
You get the pine tar off?
Well, it's the oil.
Just oil in your hands.
And, slick. And better, yeah.
Regrip them.
Regrip.
Yeah, people, that's the biggest thing. Everybody wants a new set. If you don't want to buy a new set of clubs, at least get new grips because it feels like a new club.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. No, I will agree with you there.
Yep.
And there are
a new glove.
Oh,
Lord. My biggest pet peeve. You know, the people taking these, they got six gloves, you know, taped to their bag, and every one of them's brown and crusty. And they're all on it. Like, dude, it's like $10.
Go buy a new for them. Too.
Yeah, go buy another glove.
A glove should be so tight when you put it on the first time that it's hard to get it strapped.
That's right.
But yet, I see people where there's like an inch between the end of their fingertips and the glove. And I'm like, that's going to help.
Oh, my
gosh. He's got the pet peeve of the old gloves. I got the pet peeve of the loose ones. So.
Well, they got to go hand in hand.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really good.
Well, Clint Eastwood's back again, isn't he? Get off my lawn. And really, grips, there are different price ranges. So if you don't want to spend a lot, you can get a really good grip. Mm-hmm. For not a lot.
Yeah.
And you guys will put them on at your facilities.
Yeah, don't do it
we
at home.
We won't. We have people for that.
Yeah. I don't think I would know how to.
Well,
but
I've,
we have
I've
very
done
skilled
it.
Laborers yeah. that do it every day. So,
yeah. Do it. First time on the driving range, what do we do?
Get out the driver and whack it.
Really?
No. I think start slow. Tempo.
You do.
You know what you do before you go to the range? You watch Louis Oosthuizen swing for a half hour on YouTube and then go to the driving range.
That's not bad.
It's like the most peaceful poetry you've ever seen in your life.
The guy is.
Guy's just, I think he's got the best golf swing on the tour.
Yeah. I think that everybody agrees with that, too.
Yeah, it's just effortless.
You know, if you got some time, Darren, seriously, go putt and chip before you go to the range and hit some wedges something.
Because you're going to get all tensed. You're going to want to
overswing. Exactly, yeah. And you're not used to hitting a ball or whatever. So, mm-hmm. I mean, as rudimentary as that sounds, I would say do that. So.
What's coming up at Blackthorn and Warren is next on WSBT. Tim Firestone, what's coming up at Blackthorn?
Open golf course is in great shape, ready to go. Blackthorngolf.com, 232-4653 to book your tee times. Come out and see us.
That's
exactly what I was going to say. But
come to Blackthorn?
No. Come to Well, actually, in the last week of June, go to Blackthorn, please. We're going to be closed. We're open now, though. And come out and see all the construction going on. It's not interfering with play, but it's pretty cool to watch.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll do it again next week. For Tim Firestone and John Foster, I'm Darren Pritchett. This has been the Corona Premier Golf Show from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.